I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, we listen to you talk about what we've been saying. But first, for thousands of years, the Bible has been produced and reproduced, translated and illustrated in new efforts to increase interest across age groups and ethnicities. The latest approach along these lines is the Manga Bible. Its author and illustrator is multi-ethnic and multifaceted himself. Ashunbayo Akinshuku, who goes by Shiku, was born in Nigeria, raised in England, and creates art in a style called Japanese manga. He joins us from London for this week's Faith Matters conversation. Welcome. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Can you describe manga for those who are not already fans?
Well, actually, I think most people actually know what manga is. They may not be sure of what it is or not aware, but they've seen it. They've seen it in daytime TV, and they call really animated mangas called anime. And they've probably seen it like in Michael Jackson's video where Akira kind of shouts. And this is a song where Michael Jackson sings with Janet Jackson. And in the opening cut, you've got this character that shouts, "Ah!" And that's actually Akira, one of the most famous manga characters turned into anime. So most people know what it is.
So they've seen it, even if they don't know what it's called.
Yes, you've seen it, even though you don't know what it's called. In the States, a recent anime film called Spirited Away was quite massive all over the world. Lots of people actually saw that. And I think maybe for the first time, anime really went mainstream. With manga, like I've mentioned, Akira, for example. Besides that, there's lots of daytime TV shows, many of them actually influenced by manga and anime. Very good example would be Giganto from the 70s, for example. It's something that has now permeated much of what we see in Western media.
So why Manga Bible?
Ha! Why Manga Bible? It's a way of making a relevant message, contemporary. For every decade passes, and we tend to need to reinterpret the Bible, and I think this is probably just the latest incarnation. Right now, in the comic books industry, I think the manga medium is the only growing genre. Every other genre is either static or in free fall. So it seemed like it was time for us to update the biblical message.
Which version did you use, or which translation did you use as your base? I understand that your version is quite a bit shorter than the one that many of us grew up on.
Yes, I'd hate to call it a version of the Bible. I'll probably call it an interpretation. And if you ask what base I used, I pretty much used virtually any translation you can actually think up, including looking at the text in the original language. So pretty much anything. The text itself, if you look at the book, we actually have a print out from the Bible itself. And in that one, we're using the TNIV. But for the work itself, we pretty much used anything and everything, including original languages.
But you left out some of my favorites. And the story of the loaves and the fishes didn't make the cut.
No,
it didn't. What's going on here, man?
It didn't. Too much talk. You probably noticed that we left out the Sermon on the Plains and the Sermon on the Mount.
Some people would consider that kind of a key
sacrilege, yes.
Message there.
I know. I mean, obviously, there are several key messages, so we have to pick and choose. For the New Testament, I think we had just about 70 pages to play with. Not much. And we did something novel, which I don't think anyone else had done previously. We included the letters of Paul. I don't think anyone else has ever done that before. So you've probably seen for the first time the letters of Paul done in a graphic novel, talk less of actually seeing it in manga. So we had to pick. With the narratives of the Gospels, we had 30 pages. For the Old Testament, we had a little over 100 pages, I think 130 or so. So there isn't very much. So we had to pick and choose, and we had to pick stories that flowed. So you'd have one narrative flowing into the next. So you more or less had one solid grand narrative, rather than narratives that are all broken up in pieces and unconnected or disconnected.
And if I can say this, it's kind of fun. There's some fun in it. Like, for example, in the story of Noah and the Ark, Noah loses count of the animals. How did you come up with that?
That was my brother's idea. Because my brother was a scriptwriter. I'm the concepts person. So what we did was I draw up the storyboards with notes and sketchy dialogue. And then he'll write up a fully scripted dialogue to the storyboards. So that was, I'm not going to claim credit on that one.
Now, you clearly know your Bible.
Hopefully.
Do you see this book as a tool of spreading the gospel?
Yes, I do. I mean, you can see two ways. I think in the West, especially in Western Europe, biblical narratives are no longer the narratives we actually use now. Lots of kids actually don't know what the Moses story is about. So it's a way of making those grand narratives familiar again, especially in Western Europe. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is it gives Christians who think they know the Bible a spin on actually how to see the Bible differently. I have presented Christ and God, and in fact, all the other main characters, I've presented them a little different from what people are used to. So on two fronts, I'm making a generation of people who have lost those narratives kind of familiar with them again. And then those, well, that generation that are familiar, churchgoers, for example, a fresh interpretation.
You studied theology
yourself. Yes, I'm a theologian, yes.
Did you consider this work part of your calling?
That is a very interesting question, which I'm not quite sure I know how to answer. Because if I didn't study theology, I still would have done it. As a Christian anyway, I would have done it. Being a theologian helps me do the work better. And in some instances, yes, you could call it calling. I mean, if I'm trying to make biblical narratives, again, the grand narratives of Western Europe, yes, you can call that a calling. But regardless of whether it's a calling or not, I would have done it. Let's just say I'm just being myself.
Have you heard from any clergy about your work? And what are they saying? And I'm sure there are a wide range of opinions. But
well, I think most actually are in awe. Should I say that? Are in awe of what we have done? Yes, I think I can say that. The Archbishop, for example, thinks that what we've done is pretty much up to the minute.
Wait a minute, you mean the Archbishop of Canterbury?
Yes.
He's the Most Reverend Rowan Williams?
Yes. Surprise, surprise. I don't know how he found time to read it, but he did.
Well, maybe because it's so short. It's the abbreviated version.
200 pages. Yes, you can read it in a weekend. And I think it's designed for that. If we were to do it the manga way, when I say do it the manga way, do it the traditional manga way, which is like 600 pages, 1,000 pages, 2,000 pages even, that would be the way to go. But there had to be a brief to do something that was short enough for someone to read, maybe in two or three sittings. To do something else, it's another brief, and that's what we're actually doing right now. We're doing a 300-page Jesus Christ story, for example. 300 pages just on the life of Jesus Christ. Now, that's going to be more in-depth and more decompressed and more manga-ish than what we've done so far.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with the artist Chiku about his newest graphic novel, The Manga Bible. What do you think is the appeal of manga? And specifically, what do you think it brings to the Bible?
It is cinematic in a way that Western comic books are not. One example I can give you is Frank Miller's. I don't know if you've ever read any of Frank Miller's books, whether it's Sin City, whether it's Ronin, whether it's Batman, whether it's 300. They're more cinematic. And the reason why they're more cinematic is he's been influenced by manga. What manga does, and which Western comics don't do, is it reads as though you're actually watching a film. And I think that's one of its main appeals to the new generation. Secondly, I think it's very expressive. It's expressive, emotionally expressive, in a way Western comic books are not. So I think these two factors kind of like endear the genre to the younger generation. Besides those two factors, there are other factors. Like, for example, you have a massive girl manga genre. This is a genre dedicated just to girls. We don't seem to have that in the West. It's pretty much broad-based. You think of any kind of genre and you've got it in manga.
I know you're a parent yourself, and so
yes,
you're probably past the point of worrying about what your parents think or whether they approve of your work. But it's my recollection that your folks were not that thrilled at your decision to study art. So like many parents around the world wondering, how is this man going to support himself?
Yes.
What do they think now of your latest work? What do they think of
the
manga Bible?
Well, like every African boy, we never grow out of being concerned what our parents think. They seem to think that they have a right to voice an opinion, and they do. My mom is proud of what we've done so far. I mean, my brother and I, she's proud of it. I think it's not something 30, 20 years ago she thought could happen. They viewed art as the profession of dropouts, those who couldn't hack it anywhere else. Art was the last refuge for the lazy. That's how she saw it. That's how my father, who's dead now, that's how he saw it. Unfortunately, he's not seen what we've achieved so far, which is a bit of a shame. My dad actually chose my subjects when I was 13. And he wanted me to become an accountant, and my mother wanted me to be a doctor. So there I was choosing science and business subjects, which wasn't actually my bag at all. I wanted to do the arts, that's history, literature, you know, and art. So I had to drop those subjects, which I was very good at, to do subjects which I was very bad at. My art teacher kind of like encouraged me to pick up art in secret. So you can imagine at the end of the year, my dad seeing my report card and he sees art, which I was supposed to have dropped right there, an A1, which I always got anyway in those days. The thing is, things are changing. Africans are changing the way they think about art, whether it's performing art or the visual arts. That's changing. It's no longer exactly the same as it was 30 years ago.
And what does your mom think of the Bible, of your manga Bible?
She loves it. She wants to give it to her pastor, to her friends. She loves it. If I remember when I showed her the first publication and a little dedication to her there, I'm sure I saw a tear from her eye.
When will we see the next work, The Life of Jesus?
Life of Jesus should be out, I think, at the end of the year, Christmas, here in the UK. I'm not sure about anywhere else, but we're aiming for Christmas. It's darker and edgier than any Jesus graphic novel you've ever seen.
Since I've never seen any Jesus graphic novels, I'm sure that
okay.
is the case. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Shiku is the author and illustrator of the manga Bible. He joined us from London. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
For a peek into the pages of Shiku's manga Bible, you can go to our website, npr.org/tellmemore.